we post all of our teachings, the audio recordings on the internet. And the last time that they spoke, that teaching was one of the most listened to, one of the most downloaded teachings we've ever posted. Yeah, so praise God. So they were really just able to connect with people really, really well, and just, I guess, they speak your language, maybe. So I'm really excited that they're going to be sharing this morning, and that I get to be here. The last time that they shared, I wasn't here. So I'm very excited to be here this time and hear this. So let's pray over this real quick, and we'll turn it over to Mark and Julie. Father, I just want to thank you for Mark and Julie and the example that they set in our congregation, Lord, and in their lives with their circle of friends and family and business associates. But I thank you most of all, Lord, for the word that you have put in their hearts and that they have prepared for us this morning. So I ask, Father, that you would open up our eyes and our ears, just as we prayed for the children, Lord. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts and minds that comprehend and understand what the Spirit is saying to the church this morning. I know that you've ordained Mark and Julie to speak for just such a time as this. I know that you knew before eons of time that this day was going to happen. And so I just believe, Lord, that you've prepared something very special for us today. And we want to be very, very open and very, very attentive to what you say through this man and woman of God this morning. So I pray also that the enemy of our souls would not be able to steal this word out of our hearts, but that it would be planted in good soil where it would reap a harvest of righteousness for your name's sake. And we pray and thank you in advance for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark and Julie, come on up.
And after this introduction, I'm telling you, we weren't at all nervous before, but...
I will say this, we are so blessed to have our pastor and his wife, Andy and Donna. I just want to thank you for all the hours and hours of time that you give to us every week. And as we speak about this more, you're going to see how important and how that is true love, is giving. So,
well, like Andy said, we've been talking about love for, gosh, weeks. And you know, Donna really took most of my message when she was doing the announcement, so I'm a little, no, I'm just kidding you. And then when you opened up to Isaiah, I was like, uh-oh, where's he going? Anyway, we are so excited to share with you guys today, and we have been blessed already just in looking through this. We kind of had a message 2 weeks ago we were going to talk, and because of the ice, we did not have church, and so we ended up not speaking, and we felt like in the meantime that God has shown us something else, and so rather than share what we were going to share before, we're gonna go a little different direction. But we're very excited about this, and our goal today is just to help you choose love and life and obedience, and just to have a stronger walk in your faith. And so, with that.
Okay, so one of the things that we wanted to share with everyone is when Mark and I have an opportunity to minister to people that are struggling in their marriage or in relationships, one of the first things that we say and share with them is that love is a choice, not a feeling. So we really want to stress that, you know, feelings come and go, and that, like the wind. You know, I mean, it really does. They do come and go, and we don't want to build our life on feelings. We want to build especially our relationships on love. Love is the most important thing. You know, what we see on TV and movies and that sort of thing, that's not real love. So we're going to talk more about that today.
I want to read a verse to you, and the kind of love we want to talk to you and share with you about today is a kind of love that God tells us we can't do without him. And the world has got what they consider to be love, but what's being said here in, I'm going to go to 1 John 4, starting in verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. When I found that scripture, I was really stunned that if you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian, if you're not following God, if you don't know God, any ideas you have on love are not what he's talking about. It was a real revelation to me. And, you know, Julie had mentioned that when we talk to people about marriage, and she shares a lot of times that love is a choice, it's not a feeling. It seems like that's a real revelation to people. A lot of times they get this puzzled look on their face and they're really stunned. And that's how I was when I found this. I was kind of like, but as we dove in deeper, we just started looking, and God's love gives, and the world's definition of love just takes. God says, I have what you need before you even ask. And the world says, what have you done for me lately?
That's right. That's right. And God's love is selfless, and the world's love is selfish. You know, that's when people say, I can't live without you. You know, I love you so much it hurts. Those kind of emotions and feelings, that's not the God kind of love, which is choosing love. And you know what? The God kind of love is way better, and we're going to talk more about that as we go. Let's see. God's love is based on a promise. Amen to that. You know, when we stand, especially in a marriage, when you stand before a God and, you know, ask someone to be your husband or your wife, those are promises that you're making. And when you make a promise, it's going to be a lot more likely to stand the test of time. The world's love is based solely on feelings. It's usually shallow and surface. God's love is deep. Right? It's a deeper love. And God's love is usually you have a commitment, basically, is what we're talking about. In the world's love, there is no commitment. You know, you just kind of do whatever you want to do and hope for the best. And when you stop feeling that way, you move on. And that's not what God has in store. So walking in love is not doing what you feel, but it's doing what you know is right. Amen. It is more blessed to give than to receive. When Mark was talking about that love gives, you know, that is the biggest blessing, is to give, I know. But it's also nice to receive. It's not that we don't enjoy that too. But when we give, it's important to give without wanting something back, not trading for something. You know, I'm going to give you this, so what will you give me? I mean, I think that we have a tendency sometimes in relationships to do that, to say, you know, I've given you this, what are you going to give me? You know, I mean, you expect something back. But, you know, God, there's no strings attached when we love the God kind of love. We do it because we love the person and because we care about them.
We know Louise and Tiffany just got married recently, and I'm sure that they took vows when they did get married. And the way the world looks at that is, it's, you know, will you take this person for better or for worse, for, you know, in richness and poor, in sickness and in health, till death do you part? And the answer is kind of yes, 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 maybe. You know, I mean, it's all just embarked upon with the idea that, well, hey, if it works out, good deal. If it doesn't, you know, that's the way it goes.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, the truth is, we've been married for 28 years, coming March 31st, which is really exciting. And I will tell you, the first few months of our marriage, I was kind of like, my mom and dad came to visit, and I cried as they drove away, thinking, please take me with you. This becoming one flesh is not an easy thing. But, you know, it just gets better and better when you really start to understand what true love really is and what the God kind of love. So I'm so thankful for that, you know, and to understand this, that God, that love is a choice, not a feeling. Anyway, one thing that love also does is it doesn't harm us. And in Romans 13:10, it talks about love does no harm. But, you know, the world's love does do harm. I mean, when you think about some of the things, the agenda that they're pushing on us, you know, some of the types of lifestyles that they're saying are just normal. Well, I mean, you die 20 years younger when you follow these particular lifestyles, there's more abuse and there's more issues. I mean, it's just one of those things where you can see God's plan is that we live long and live strong and are blessed. And these things that are being pushed on us are, you know, just not right. You were going to talk about that.
Well, I'm going to take what Julie was going to say. In John 10:10, which I think is the dividing line of all Scripture, it says the enemy came only to steal, kill, and destroy. But God came, Jesus came, to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. And if we embrace the world and the world's love, we are on a road to having things stolen, to be killed, and to be destroyed. You know, and I don't want to say any of this either. Well, let me read the next verse, because the next verse, you may be familiar with this. It's from John 3, verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world." And hey, that's not what we're trying to do either, man. Condemnation is not God's plan, but that the world through him might be saved. "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." You know, one of the things that I have thought, the more I have grown in Christ, the more I've understood, and don't get me wrong, I mean, I'm getting this wrong every day of my life. I mean, there's stuff that, well, I mean, we all are.
Sure.
We all have got things that we're doing or thinking or saying that are not of God. And I don't want to give you the impression I think I've got it all right and, you know, you need to get your act together. I mean, I'm preaching to myself too here. I want my life to improve based on my understanding of God and then my applying what I know. But one of the misconceptions I've had for a long time is that if people just understood how good God is, they would come flocking to him. That is not true.
It's unfortunate.
When Jesus shows up, you're going to have revival and you're going to have riots. And that is what happened when Paul would show up in a town. They would have revival. There would be people that would choose God, but they'd have riots. There were people that followed Paul around just to cause him a hard time. But it's that they're loving their darkness because their deeds are evil. And God says in Hosea that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And you think, well, hey, we can just get that, though. But it's he's not saying that. He says, because you've rejected knowledge. And that's a little bit about what we want to talk to you about today is, you know, there's sometimes we look and we're thinking, oh, the world's got it all wrong. The world's got it all wrong. There's a lot wrong going on in here too. And what we want to do is look at what we're thinking and where we're going and what we're doing that's causing us problems. Sure.
We were just going to mention a little bit about Nicholas Cruz, because, you know, the Florida shooter, because that's, to me, it's a great representation of darkness. I mean, you see someone that has put things into their mind and has not had boundaries, isn't choosing love. He chose hate. He's not appreciating the sanctity of life and not appreciating how precious human life is. And he just took all these people's lives, stole their lives from them, you know. And that's just, that is why we need to choose to love. That's why we need to stay in the light. That's why we need to be seeking God out, because love is a choice. And he did not choose love, obviously. You know, and the truth is, we do have to deal with temptation, and temptation's not a sin. You know, when the enemy gives you an idea and you choose not to do it, that's when God says, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. You know, he wants us to choose, make better choices. He wants us to, you know, do the right thing. And love never fails. So when you choose love, you're going to choose the right way. You know, love covers a multitude of sin. I always think about that verse too. I mean, it's just so important to not always look at everything that's wrong with someone, but look at what's right, because there are 5 things that might be glaring that they do that irritate you, but there are 1,000 that they do that are a blessing to you. And if we focus on the good things instead of anything that's wrong, it will always be the God kind of love. Amen.
Amen. You know, it's interesting on the school shooting situation that nobody in the news is talking about this guy or where, how he got to where he is or how he decided this was going to be okay. And in fact, you get somebody from the NRA and they, you know, and the crowd starts chanting, "You're a murderer, you're a murderer." Nobody's saying that to the guy that pulled the trigger. But to the person that is trying to protect your rights to own a gun, they're the murderers. It's
what's right will be considered wrong, and what is wrong will be considered right in the end times.
Amen. Amen.
It's unfortunate, but true.
Well, anyway, in thinking about this rejecting knowledge, you know, I think about the parable of the sower where the seed is sown, and that's the church. That's us. That's, you know, and some is received and some is, you know, I mean, some grow and some don't. And so with that in mind, I want to remind us of a verse in James 1:22 that we hear Keith Moore talk about a lot. That is, we want to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And the verse goes on to say, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. If we're hearing the word, but we're not acting on it, we're actually deceiving ourselves. And James goes on in verse 26 to say that the one who does not bridle his tongue deceives himself. And I've always thought of that as like cursing or saying things. But you know, if we're speaking things that are not what God says, we're reinforcing what the world says and we're deceiving ourselves.
Life and death is in the power of the tongue. That's a verse I say a lot.
I was trying to think of a name for this gal that would, like a superhero name, like the
Wonder Woman?
No. Well, Wonder Woman, yeah. Or, well, you know, I kind of have a tendency to call you the faith lady, but anyway, she does talk a lot about speaking, saying what God says, calling things that are not as though they were, you know, seeing your faith produce. Well, anyway, so in looking at things from the standpoint of not being hearers only, but doers of the word, not deceiving ourselves, taking each thought captive, bridling our tongue, saying what God says and believing. This next thing I want to tell you, when I heard this, I was kind of shocked, and yet it is really sinking in with me. We heard someone say that you are never walking stronger in love than you when you want to slap somebody and you don't. Or when you want to say something, but you don't. And the title of our message is that love is a choice, and what the choice looks like is obedience. You know, one of the things I felt like God has shown me is that we all have what I would call comfort sins. Mm-hmm. You know, for some of us, it's drinking. Or for some of us, it's eating. Or some of us, it's sex. It's all different. And we look at everybody else, even people that drink. It's really interesting. You know, their definition of an alcoholic is somebody who drinks more than they do. You know, but that's the way it is with us. You know, if you just sin to the degree that I do, you're okay. But boy, if you sin any more than me, you're horrible. But that's sin. I mean, I'm getting myself off track here a little bit. Love is a choice, and the choice looks like obedience. We need to choose to yield to God. Even if it's catching ourselves right in the middle of a sentence, you know, I'd like to tell you that I better go over here and pray, you know, or whatever it happens to be. I mean, we're running around through life, and we come to church. It was really interesting. When years ago, I was in church in Chicago, and I was talking to these people at church about having a difficulty with a coworker in my job, and they were like, "Oh my gosh, you know, you just seem like the kind of guy that would never have a problem with anybody." So naturally, I can look like that for an hour on Sunday morning. You know, you ought to catch me during the week if you think this is looking good. You know, it's not always that pretty. But I feel like what we do is in life, we're letting ourselves, or I can see this in my life, where I know the truth in a lot of areas, but am I getting it done? Am I actually doing it, or do I just know it? So we need to choose to do what we know is right. And I mean, it sounds really simple, but that is what love looks like. When we're doing what we know is right, when we're not yielding to whatever would be our natural tendency, whatever your comfort sin is, recognize that, hey, there's punishment that comes with that or downside. But yet, if we skip that and we do what God wants, there is all kinds of upside. So we need to choose to do what we know is right and choose to say what we know is right. And, you know, God is going to, as we move along in this, God is going to show us, hey, you thought that was right. That's not. You thought this was wrong. That's not. We don't have this all together, but as we saturate ourselves with God's word, he's going to show us what right and wrong look like. But we must recognize that obedience is a huge part of our love for God. Jesus says in John 4:15 that if you love me, you will keep my commands. You know, and I think we have a real tendency to look at the grace of God and to really get into, you know, God just loves me no matter what I do, and then wander off and do all kinds of stuff that we know God wouldn't want us to, and then come right back to that, but I know that doesn't change the way God loves me, and it doesn't. But as Andrew Womack might say, but if you do sin, you're just stupid.
And it also changes the way we respond to God when we are in sin. It's, you know, you have to have that relationship where you're spending time with him, and you know that when you say something, it's powerful because you're in the word, you're understanding how faith works, and faith works by love. So it's important to be doing things that, you know, are in love.
Amen. Amen. Well, and I think one of the other things that happens to us when we sin, we run off with the idea that God is mad at us now. We may think, I understand grace, and I understand that God's happy with me. Jesus paid for my sin. God loves me no matter what I do. But when we sin, we just open the door for Satan to come in, and he is going to eat our lunch and pop the bag. I mean, he is going to steal from us, kill us, destroy us. He's going to take you places you never wanted to go, keep you longer than you thought. It's going to cost you more. We have no idea what the ramifications are when we're opening the door. He doesn't tell us ahead of time, hey, do this. You're going to love this. You know, and the word says, all sin is fun for a time. It is. I mean, they wouldn't call it temptation if it wasn't tempting.
But if we choose God, then we get life and we get it more abundantly, which is what our, you know, what we're trying to encourage everyone to do today. And we want to be doing also. So, you know, it is true that when the devil is trying to steal from us, and we want to be aware of that. But the truth is, if you're seeking God, he is going to protect you. He's going to take care of you, and he's going to make sure that you're blessed.
Amen. Amen. Galatians 5:6 tells us also that faith works by love. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that, you know, we confess, we believe, we've got a better understanding of faith than a lot of groups of Christians, but yet, are we receiving what God's promising us? Are we moving closer to where God would have us to be? Or are we just kind of wandering along in the same spot, hoping things are going to get better, but not operating in love, not operating in obedience? Mm-hmm. And there's a verse in 1 John that says, whatever we ask, we receive because we keep his commands. And Proverbs 6:23 talks about the commandments are a light. The law is a light. Reproofs of instruction, the way of life.
Amen.
Amen. You know, if you are a gamer and you play video games, there are cheat codes that you can get, and you can suddenly be way beyond where you would have ever gotten to if you just played the game and found out, oh, look, you can do this. Oh, you can do that. Oh, you know. And the guys that are good go out and they find these cheat codes. You know, or if you're in business and you've got rules that you go by, you're going to do a lot better than if you're just doing whatever comes to mind, that you just get up in the morning and, you know, but if you've got a plan, or the Olympics just finished up on TV or are getting ready to, you know, these people didn't make it to the Olympics by just doing whatever came to mind. They have spent their life. Now, if you look at them, you may find all kinds of areas of their life that are a mess, but from the downhill skiing standpoint, they got it down, you know. That is, to me, and in my business, I can see this too. I mean, I started out, I trade commodities. Futures trading is not an easy game. And I basically started out in this with no rules and very little knowledge even of how it all works. And I can tell you, every time God has shown me something where it's like, hey, don't do this, do that. It just, I mean, it's such a comfort. It so changes your life and the results you're going to get, because you're not just wandering around aimlessly. God's word is exactly that way.
Amen.
He is showing us. I mean, we could, if, you know, I studied business in school, and a lot of what they taught us was like, well, sure, that makes sense. You know, it makes sense now because somebody just told you. You know, if you had to figure it out on your own, it could have taken you years, maybe a lifetime. And a lot of what God's trying to teach us, we don't have time to learn the hard way.
That's right.
I mean, we'll be dead before that happens. You know, when we're raising our children, you see this too. I mean, there's all kinds of ways we can just fall into traps that are going to change the rest of our lives. If we are looking in God's word and we're seeking Him out and we're finding out His way of doing things, we are going to save ourselves an immense amount of trouble.
That's right.
And heartache.
Amen.
And we're going to not allow the enemy to come in and steal, kill, and destroy.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to share that when we are walking in love, our faith works. We can speak to our mountains and they will move, because our faith is where it needs to be when we're walking in love. I was going to read Deuteronomy 30, 19, and 20. And it says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days. So, amen to that. That verse is one of my favorites, and it is true. When we seek Him, when we choose Him, you know, every day you get a choice, and the choice is obvious, and God tells us which one to choose. So He already told us that. And if we choose Him, we are going to see so many great things happen in our lives. And when you choose the other, the enemy is just going to mess with you constantly. And it's hard to watch other people. I will say this. I mean, we've talked about this Bible verse before, the 10,000 may fall at your left and 1,000 at your right. One of the hardest things for me is watching 10,000 fall at my left and 1,000 at my right, and I'm still standing. You know, praise God, but it is hard to watch other people make bad choices and let the enemy lie to them, and they listen and believe what he says. The Word of God is where the truth is. It's where life is. It's where love is. It's where everything is. And when you seek Him, He says you'll find Him. So I just want to encourage everyone to be realizing that there is an enemy that wants to steal your life, and God wants to bless you.
Amen.
That's the way it works.
Amen. You know, one of the things I was going to say is, I guess I sort of beat around the bush on this a little bit, that life is way easier if God shows you the way.
Amen.
And that the Bible is our cheat codes for life. But I want to read a verse in Isaiah 58 that talks about how things are going to look when we do decide to allow God to be our God and we do decide to love Him by obeying Him. It says, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and He'll say, here I am.
Amen.
I mean, that is our goal. That is where we're moving toward. That's what, or what hopefully we're moving towards.
Amen.
Joshua says in chapter 24, verse 15, choose for yourselves this day who you will serve. And I just want to encourage you guys to choose to yield to God's love, to choose to do what you know is right, and choose to say what you know is right. So, I mean, where I'm going with this message is in my own life, I want to stop yielding to the enemy and start yielding to God. And I just want to encourage all of you to do the same thing.
Amen.
Amen.
And I also want to say, stop yielding to your feelings, knowing that they don't always tell you the truth, and they're ever changing. And the truth is, we really want to be seeking God and His love and loving others in a way that is not based on feelings. So that's key. You know, I mean, I think we get distracted by the way somebody looks or by the way, you know, our feelings are leaning us towards something, but the truth is in here. And if God says it's wrong, then it's wrong. If He says it's right, then it's right. So do it. And you've got freedom in that. That's where freedom is. Freedom is in understanding who God is and doing what He tells you to do. And there's so much freedom in that, I can tell you. Amen.
I just remember a previous pastor of mine long ago that said, you know, God's word isn't meant to just bog us down with rules and you know, things that just make us get all in bondage. It's meant to bring us freedom. And he gave the example of a train on tracks. He said, a train is never more free when it's riding along the tracks. But if you get the train off the tracks, it can't go anywhere. So we need to see ourselves as that train on those tracks. We're following God's word. We're going where He wants us to go. We can't get there any other way because we need to be on those tracks to get there. But we will be more free and more blessed when we are on the track of what God has before us.
Amen. Amen.
I didn't plan on doing this, but I just want to have a little Q&A. Is that okay? Can we do some Q&A? We've got a little bit of time here, so your message was short enough that we can do that. So I want to ask this. You said early in your teaching that the early part of your marriage, you know, was a little rough in learning how to be one flesh. And so what was it that turned that around for you and got you to the point where you felt like you were operating as one flesh?
Well, I think both of us continued to seek God and to understand what love really is. I mean, it is definitely compromise. It is not always having to have your way. It's not selfish. And I think just becoming more aware of the fact that we weren't doing that all the time with one another, and we would, you know, raise our voices, or one of us would anyway. And I didn't say any names. I didn't say any names.
Hey, that could be your comfort sin, yelling. I'm not highly recommending.
Anyway, and you know, I mean, and I would always say to him, it's not what you're saying, it's your approach, it's the way you're doing it, you know. And he really started to think about that, and he's worked really hard to be more, you know, kind. Being kind to one another is key in a relationship. And knowing that love is a choice. You do get frustrated with each other. You do have times where you just want to, you know, knock him one. Yeah, slap him. And that's when you go to the Lord and go, Lord, you know my heart. And allow the Holy Spirit to stop you. You need to stop yourself from saying things that are not going to be beneficial. And there's a lot of things in marriages that get said that just don't need to be said. So,
if there was one piece of marital advice I could give people, it would be do not say what you're thinking, especially if you're upset. I mean, you cannot take back what you have said, but you can think it over beforehand and decide, hey, this is not going to be beneficial. I think another really bad tendency in marriage is to try to be the Holy Spirit to the person. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, you need to stop doing that. Hey, you need to start doing this. Hey, let God show people what needs to change. I mean, our tendency is to come in. If you're a problem solver, your tendency in any situation is to see what's wrong and there's an immediate solution. Oh, you eat too much? Well, tie yourself in the basement or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, there's a solution. It's kind of like this, you know, what are we going to do about, you know, school safety? What do you do when there's a school shooting? You call the police. Why do you call the police? Because they got guns. So in other words, you need somebody with a gun. Why not put somebody with a gun in school to begin with? You know, there's a simple solution, but that's not, saying it is not always the best way to get there. And I think especially in marriage, but in any situation, stating the obvious is not always the best.
Yeah, that's good insight. And you know, these issues apply to all relationships, not just the marital relationships. And I know that because they're bringing a perspective from marriage, that's going to apply to a lot of the marriages that are here. But you know, let's apply it to our interpersonal relationships within the church as well, and also in the workplace, in our extended family, etc. And, you know, one of the things that you said kind of sparked a memory that I have about Joyce Meyer and what she taught one time. She said that there's a hardware store that they go to that's nearby their home that she and her husband Dave go visit from time to time. And Dave likes this one route that he likes to go, and she would constantly argue that there's a shorter route. And they would get in these arguments, on like big arguments about which route to take to the hardware store. And the difference really was only 2 or 3 minutes. And finally, after battling this out, she felt like the Holy Spirit said to her, "Joyce, just let the man take the route that he wants to take." So I think that we need to choose our battles wisely, don't we? Amen. Choose our battles wisely.
Amen.
So that applies both in marriage and also in the church. You don't always have to address every problem, every frustration. You don't always have to address it or speak your mind. Sometimes it's just better to let a sleeping dog lie.
Amen.
So I think that's good insight. So this is good timing for this. Brand new married couple here. Yeah, this wasn't planned. What else? Do you have any insights on choosing your battles wisely? I mean, how would that?
Well, I think what you've said, you can't die on every hill. I mean, there's a place to take a stand, but you can't hit every one of them. And I'll tell you something else. When two people get together, you both think completely differently. And that is a blessing. If you both thought the same, you're going to have a very limited amount of things that you can accomplish. But if both of you have a different skill set, and that's the way God's going to do it. You know, people say opposites attract. But part of the reason is you complement each other. Where one is weak, the other one's strong. That's not a bad thing. And the tendency is to say, hey, you know, you're really weak in this area. You need to, you know. No, embrace the fact that your spouse is very strong in areas where you are totally weak. You are meant to be a couple. You're meant to work together. You're helping each other out. So, and when you recognize that and begin to appreciate that and thank God for that,
amen,
it makes things a lot easier than if you're trying to get the other person to the point where you are in a given area. They may never get there, and they may never need to be there. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
That's right.
Yeah, and once again, I want to apply this to all of us because, you know, choosing the hills that you die on and choosing your approach very, very carefully, I think really needs to be applied in our interpersonal relationships within the church. Because I've witnessed it. I've witnessed people in the church, and they're in a social gathering of some sort. I remember years ago, there was a social gathering that we had. I don't remember what we were celebrating, but it was kind of an after-church thing, sort of like what we're doing today with Luis and Tiffany. And there was a exchange between two women that got a little sharp and a little heated. And I'm like, over that? You know, so it's like we wear our feelings on our sleeves so often, and I think sometimes we just need to step back and say, you know what, it's just really not worth it. It's so not worth it over that little issue to get all flustered over things. And we just need to realize that we're all imperfect in a variety of ways. And I love what Mark and Julie said about us complimenting each other. Love Mark's comments about that we do compliment each other. That is not only true in marriage, that's also true in the church. So if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about, you know, the church is a body. We're all made up of different parts that serve different functions. So we all have to just accept the fact that we're all wired up very differently, and that is on purpose. That's God's design that we're wired up very differently. If we were all the same, somebody wouldn't be necessary. We're all different because we're all necessary to build up the body of Christ. And so we need to embrace that, need to understand that, that people are going to rub you the wrong way sometimes because you have a different way of thinking than some people do. And by virtue of the fact that you're wired up differently, you have different background, maybe a different cultural background, different upbringing, your psychological wiring is different than some people, and therefore you're looking at life through different lenses, if you will, than some people are. And so therefore, you sometimes clash. Your cultures will clash sometimes. Your personalities will clash sometimes. And believe me, folks, listen, I believe, once again, that is by God's design. When he brings people of different backgrounds, different psychological wirings, if you will, together in one body, and we start chipping the rough edges off of each other. And, you know, the scriptures say that as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And so what that means is sometimes people are going to have some conflict. And when iron sharpens iron, there's friction and sparks fly. But as you allow God to shape you through that process, you begin noticing, oh, you know what, I really could have handled that differently, or I could have said that differently, or, wow, maybe my thought process along these lines isn't as right as I thought it was. Maybe I need to be more open to what this other person is saying. See what I'm saying? So God uses the church to chisel our character, and he does it through sometimes these interpersonal conflicts that will cause sparks sometimes. And a lot of people come into a church thinking it's going to be a Shangri-La experience. Oh, it's going to be heaven on earth. No, listen, we're people, we're imperfect, and God designed it this way, for there to be some conflict and for there to be some sparks fly, so it chips the rough edges off of you and me if we respond properly to that process. Amen?
Amen.
You know, something else along those lines, though, and as we were looking at this, and I talked a little bit about comfort sin, and, you know, if I'm feeling like I'm in sin in my life, it's not going to take much of a spark if Andy does just the least. I mean, if you see somebody, I mean, we talked about these two women that are, you know, at each other's edge. If I'm feeling badly about my relationship with God, it's not going to take much now to spark me. I mean, that's one of those benefits of sin where, you know, if you see someone that's losing it quickly, a lot of times it's because they're so upset with themselves, but they're not taking it out on themselves. They're taking it out on the next person they bump into.
Good point. Good point. So, does anybody have any questions for Mark and Julie? Yes, sir. Yes.
I really like the analogy about love,
wanting
to slap someone and not doing that.
Say it again.
I really liked his analogy about love is wanting to slap someone that, but not doing that. That's going to stick with me for a long time. Can you give me an example, maybe, and not name names, of course, especially if it was me, but a time when you've done that and then the reward that resulted from that in that relationship?
Good question.
You know, I wish I could think of something really great, just right off the cuff, fantastic, that this happened. But I'll tell you, any time you didn't do what your flesh was telling you to do, and you did the right thing, and you did what, you know, you said what you know is right, rather than saying the quickest thing that comes to mind. You know, we value snappy comebacks. You know, if you insult me and then I just, boom, insult you back. Oh, look at him. Boy, he's really sharp. You know, man, that is the exact opposite of what God's looking for. I had a friend one time years ago when I was first becoming a Christian, and this guy, you'd ask him a question and it'd be, you know, it's like, oh, come on, you know. But this guy would really think things through. He didn't just blurt out the first thing that came to mind.
Amen. And, good word.
Amen.
Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And I do think if we don't say the first thing that comes to our mind a lot of the time, it's a really good thing. And take time. I mean, the people, you can think through people that you've met in your lives that they seem like they really think through before they speak. I mean, I've had a lot of people like that in my life. And, you know, those people, when they say something, you listen. I mean, it's usually something powerful. So,
amen.
You know.
Amen. You know, I think the closer I get to God, the more saying what comes to mind is going to work.
Amen.
But in the meantime, silence is golden.
Amen.
I mean, you can start so many arguments so quickly with your spouse or with whoever you're interacting with. This slow to speak, slow to anger, very good advice.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good. That was a good question, Bill. And also, I want to add to that on that question. You know, a lot of times the sowing and reaping process isn't always immediate. So sometimes when we refrain from saying something that would otherwise inflame a situation, we don't always see the immediate benefit from that. The sowing and reaping process comes later. You get the reward later. But I also want to paint this little word picture for you on your question, Bill. You know, I would liken the results of not saying something that you shouldn't say that would inflame something to stepping on a landmine or not. So the benefit of holding your tongue or not doing or saying something that you would otherwise want to say and lashing out, the result of that really is immediate, but you don't always recognize it as such because what you've just done is you've avoided stepping on the landmine.
That's right.
Yeah. So just keep that in mind that when you do, as Mark and Julie have suggested, and just, you know, hold your tongue, don't lash out when you feel like lashing out, you've just avoided the landmine.
Amen.
So there may not be some amazing celestial reward that gets poured on you immediately, but you've just avoided a lot of trouble. You could have avoided weeks worth of trouble in your marriage or a relationship with somebody in the church by saying just whatever comes to your mind. So that's a great question.
Me first? Thank you. You know, it also comes to taking every thought captive, and it's important even in our own personal lives, not even necessarily in a relationship, but in our own personal lives, to not be saying things that are not what God says. You know, we want to say what God says about us and think what God says. You know, you don't want to drop something and go, oh, I'm having one of those days. I always do. You know, that's what I think the enemy wants us to speak out, is that everything's going wrong today. But, you know, that just builds on, you know, how you're going to relate to anybody else when you let the enemy conquer you like that. What I always say is, oh, it's getting ready to get better right now.
Amen.
You know, instead of receiving all the negativity that the enemy wants to put on you because of things not going right.
Hey, and you know, Bill, the flip side to your question, a lot of times saying what God wants us to say, and I can't think of a situation where I got an immediate result that way. I was standing in traffic court one time, and the judge said to me, that's going to be $250, and this will not go on your record. And I said, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate that. And he said, well, in that case, the court will waive the fine.
Wow. Yeah, Scale, you got a question?
I think it's important in a marriage that we, and so often, and I think this is the result, it can be the result of a lot of divorces. We try to change our partner. You know, we think they should look a different way than what they look, and change them, and you know, you've got to do it this way or that way or another way, and vice versa. I want you to be this way. We want to be what God wants us to be. And it just goes along with what you were saying, but I think so many times we want to, you know, when we don't know any better, we want to change the person. We love them, but we want to change them. They're not quite the way we think they should be. They should be the way God wants them to be. And seeking Him out in the relationship will just get you where you're supposed to be, but we should not change one another. Let Him do it. If there's changing, and look at yourself. It might not be your partner that needs changing. It might be you. Yeah, or both. Amen. That's it.
She said one time to me about 6 months ago, she said, we first got married, I tried to change you. And I said, what? Why?
who else? Any other questions for Mark and Julie? Any questions at all? Yes, Sharon.
I would just like to make a comment about Julie and Mark. I've known this couple for, man, 10 years or more, I think. And I have never known a couple to walk in love more than Julie and Mark. When you guys are around them, and as the years go by and you get to know them, you will know that this couple walks the walk in all areas of their life. And, you know, we don't live with you, and we know, like, on Sunday mornings you come in, and but you're not the plastic fantastic. And I've been with you on the weekend. I've been with you through the week. And I just so appreciate that you guys walk the walk. And, Julie, you have been a mentor in my life for many, many years. And you haven't even known it because I've seen you walk. And I've seen you walk with the Lord, and I've seen the things that you do. And believe me, when people say that when we live our lives that people are watching, they are. And I appreciate both of you.
Amen. Yeah. I second that emotion.
That is so humbling to hear. You know, we see the sin in our own lives and we think, oh my gosh, are we making any progress at all? But it's how encouraging to hear something like that. But yet at the same time, I think, to God be the glory. If there's anything going right in my life, it's because of God. Because I can tell you, I spent a lot of time doing things my own way and the results were not great.
Well, and it comes back to the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. That's my life. I mean, the more I get to know God, the more I realize I don't know anything. And we're just continuing to learn. But Sharon, we are so thankful for you, and we are so blessed by your family and everyone at Blessed Life Fellowship and our pastor and his beautiful wife. We just thank everyone for all the encouragement and blessing that you've been to us in our lives. So thank you very much.
Amen. I'll tell you something else, too, in preparing all this. Man, you just cannot appreciate enough what our pastor goes through for us. I mean, if I had to talk to you every week, I can talk to you once every now and then because I can just tell you everything I know, and then that's it. You know, next week I'd have to tell you what I told you last week again. That's all I know. But to every week have a message.
It's amazing.
Amen. Amen. We so appreciate you. I feel like that's one of the other things in love is, in loving God, I feel like recently I have just become so much more thankful for my church and my wife and my life and just everything God's blessed us with. I think there's a tendency for us to look at things the way the world does where, oh, everything's not exactly the way I want. But, man, just to be alive is such a gift from God, much less, you know, everything else that he's poured out for us, everything he's done, what his son has done for us. I mean, we really ought to be a thankful people.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, that's a good note to end on. You know, part of love, I think, is being thankful. Thankful for your spouse, thankful for your extended family, thankful for the church that God has planted you in, the job that he's planted you in. I mean, man, you could have it so much worse than you do right now. I mean, if you looked at all the things that are wrong in your life, just concentrated on that, yeah, you could count up some things that are wrong, but if you switch that focus and count up the things that are right and begin to just appreciate people, just like you all were saying earlier, appreciate people for what they do right. Appreciate your spouse. Appreciate your children. Appreciate your parents, young ones. Appreciate your parents for what they do right. Maybe things in your home, kids, according to your infinite wisdom of 14 or 15 or 16 years old, maybe according to you know, your worldly wisdom, things may not be exactly the way that you would have them be. But you know what? You're well-fed, well-clothed, well-taken care of, loved. There's a lot of things that can be wrong. You know, so I just want to encourage the teenagers and young kids here to be thankful for your parents and love and honor your parents. And let's love and honor one another. I'll end on this note right here in Ephesians. It tells us, you know, in Ephesians chapter 5, it talks a lot about a husband and wife relationships and how husbands and wives ought to honor one another. But then you know what it does also talks about is us honoring each other in the church out of reverence for God.
Amen.
And that's a huge expression of love right there. We honor one another out of an expression of honor to God. And that doesn't just, it's not confined to marriage. It's the entire church. Okay? So, all right. Well, let's stand and pray. Thank you, Mark and Julie, so much for such a great discussion. That's wonderful. So, yeah.